Lord, may you please open your word to us, open our hearts to you. In your name we pray. Amen. The older I get, the more I'm convinced that we human beings like to be led. Is this because we were created to be led by God? I think so. In any event, we human beings talk about how independent-minded we are. But then we turn around and allow ourselves to be led by others way more than I think we believe. Think about the crazy fads that people follow, or the bandwagons that people jump on, a lot of those in our days, or the philosophies that all of a sudden everybody's ascribing to. It's crazy sometimes. We human beings are a lot, to use the biblical term, a lot like sheep. So to whom should we turn? Obviously, to a good shepherd. And of course, that's what Jesus is. In our text today, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We've been going through the I am statements of Jesus during this Lenten season, so turn with me, if you will, to John 10, and let's look at this one. I am the good shepherd. So what did Jesus mean when he said that, when he said he was the good shepherd? Most people, when they look at this verse, they focus on what it means to be a shepherd. I'm not going to do that today. Let's focus on what it means to be a good shepherd. Let's focus on the word good. There are two Greek words in the New Testament which we translate as good, agathos and kalos. And the meaning of the two words overlap, just like how we use good in different senses overlaps in our language. But broadly speaking, oversimplifying it, agathos tends to refer to good that's intrinsic, while kalos tends to be good that is worked out, the result of what's inside, the intrinsic good. And we see this, for example, in Matthew 7:18. And here I'm using the NIV because it's a little bit clearer. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. The first word, good, is agathos. The second one is kalos. So when Jesus said this, he was saying that a good tree, one that's inherently good, cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit, kalos fruit. An agathos tree cannot bear bad fruit, it bears kalos fruit. A bad tree does not bear any good fruit at all. Now, I don't know if you're catching the difference, but we'll think of it in this way. If a person really loves blueberry pie, and that person thinks there's no such thing as a bad blueberry pie, then blueberry pie, by his definition, is agathos. It's inherently good. Then when he takes a slice of pie and eats that slice and he goes, oh, that is so good, that's kalos. It's inherently good, but when you taste it, you get the result of it, that's kalos. Now, why do I belabor this? Because Jesus is both, as we'll look at, but in our text, he says he is the kalos shepherd, not the agathos. But obviously, Jesus is inherently good. He is agathos by nature. In the fullest sense of that word, only God, only Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit, only they are good in the fullest sense of that word. Mark 10:18, Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. No one is agathos, inherently good, except for God alone. So Jesus, because he is agathos, that means he always has our best interest at heart. We never have to doubt that. He's always good. He always has our best interest at heart. He never lies or cheats. He doesn't have any hidden agenda. Doesn't manipulate us to get his own way. And he says what he means, and he means what he says, and so on. And he can no more not be this than the sun can stop being the sun. For Jesus to be something else, it's more likely that the sun will suddenly become a tree than for Jesus to not be agathos. This is who he is. He's good by nature. And this compared to some of our leaders who don't have our best interests at heart, and many of our leaders do. But, you know, there are some leaders on the political level, on the job, in the community, who lie and cheat, who have a hidden agenda and manipulate us to get their way. They don't have our best interest at heart, and they don't say what they mean, and they don't mean what they say. In the verse previous to our text, Jesus called such leaders thieves and nothing more. Such a leader may look good, he may seem good, he may appear good, but he's not. He's not agathos at all. In fact, his heart is rotten to the core. With that said, again in our text, when Jesus said that he was the good shepherd, the word he used was kalos, not agathos. So why is that significant? Well, suppose a rancher hired you to keep his sheep. If you're like me, you don't know the first thing about keeping sheep. Some of you probably do. I know nothing. If you are hired to keep the sheep and you don't know anything about sheep, you might be a good agathos shepherd in that you are honest and hardworking and you care for the sheep. So you're an agathos shepherd. Does that mean you're a good kalos shepherd? Not necessarily. Since you don't know what you're doing, you might feed the sheep the wrong food. You might not protect them from the heat or the storm because you might not know how to do that. You might not shear them correctly because you've never done it before. You're agathos, but not necessarily kalos. Jesus is both. He's good by nature. He has his sheep's best interest at heart, but he's also kalos. He knows what is best for us and does what is best for us. And what is the good that Jesus does for us? Look at the previous verse. Think of the leaders who lead people because they love the power or the prestige that comes with it. And that can be a secular or a spiritual position. They act like they have our best interest at heart, but according to verse 10, what do? They steal our money, our affections, our compliance, then they kill our freedom of choice, our hopes, our dreams, our self-reliance and respect, and they destroy anything and everything that stands in their way for them to accomplish their goals. Jesus, on the other hand, it says, came to give us life abundantly. The word life in this verse refers to life that is lived in connection with God. Life as it was meant to be lived. And the word abundantly, of course, means when something is available more than what we need, way more than what we need. So when Jesus said he came to give us life abundantly, he was saying that he rains down his grace and his goodness upon us to such a degree that we come away sopping wet from that goodness. And that we are more alive than we ever have been before. Jesus is the kalos shepherd, come to give and give and give. Goodness after goodness after goodness. Kalos after kalos after kalos. Is he a good shepherd or what? Agathos and kalos. Is he a good shepherd or what? And indeed, consider just how intimately he knows and loves us. Go down a couple verses later. He said in verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd, repeated himself. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Think of how intimately Jesus knows us. Now, once again, just as with the word good, there are several Greek words which we can translate as know. And again, to oversimplify, they can be translated in the sense of knowing about someone or knowing someone. So when you guys first contacted me, you asked me some questions. You asked me to respond to some questions in a written form. You interviewed me. You asked me all kinds of questions. You got to know about me. And now that I've been here for 4.5 years, you've seen all kinds of sides of me that you didn't see before that. You have a good feel for who I am. You know what I think, what's important to me. You know I've got a warped sense of humor and all that stuff. Before you knew about me, now you know me. And again, that's the sense of the two Greek words. And the one that's used in this context is the latter. To really know someone, not just to know about someone, but to know someone. And think of just how well the Lord knows us. Not just the number of hairs on our head that he knows, but he knows what's in our heart. Better than we ourselves know what's in our heart. He knows our hopes and our dreams. He knows what scares us. What calls us to shrink back. He knows us as intimately, our text says, as he and the Father know each other. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Did you ever think of that? To be truly known by someone, that's no small gift, is it? When David reflected on how well the Lord knew him, he said in Psalm 139, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. We would probably say it this way. To be known as intimately as Jesus knows us is mind-boggling. Wonderfully so, but mind-boggling. People nowadays say that they just want to be seen. Jesus sees us. He knows us. He understands us. He gets us. Isn't that amazing? And then, of course, not only does he know us, he loves us. Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And we always keep on running back to this, don't we? This is the heart of who we are. Because Jesus loved us. He took our place on the cross, died for us. He died the death that we deserve. And think about that. The Creator died for the creatures. God died for man. The shepherd died for the sheep. Those of you who either were or are farmers, would you die for your cows, your chickens, or your pigs? But Jesus died for his sheep. And talking about earthly shepherds, earthly leaders, how many of them do you suppose would die for you and me? Do you think the president would die for us? Do you suppose any senator or congressman would die for us? Jesus did. How about the governor or an assembly person? But Jesus did. Even closer to the home, the mayor or the city manager or someone on the council, would they die for us? But Jesus did. Would I, your pastor, die for you? I don't know. God knows. In the right circumstance, maybe. In a different circumstance, perhaps not. Who knows? But Jesus did. And honestly, would you willingly, with premeditation, not risk your life, but to lay down your life. Would you do that for even someone you love? I know without a shadow of doubt I'd risk my life for those I loved. At least I think I would. Someone broke into our house, I'm standing between that burglar and my wife or my kids or whoever the case might be. I'd risk my life. But would you willingly, with premeditation, lay down your life like Jesus did? So suppose your child needed a kidney transplant to live. Suppose you are the only match they can find. Now let's press it a little bit further. Suppose that you've had kidney trouble before and you had one removed and you only have one left. Would you donate your kidney for your child? Your one remaining kidney so that they might live? I know the doctors wouldn't let you do it. I know that. But suppose they would. Would you crawl up on that operating table knowing that you would never wake up again so that your child might live? Willingly, with premeditation, would you lay down your life for your child? Jesus did. Jesus did. And then, of course, he said in chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. How intimately Jesus knows us and loves us. I'll say it again. Jesus is a good shepherd, agathos and kalos. He's a good shepherd, is he not? Sometimes we lead, sometimes we follow. Often we neither lead nor follow. We kind of walk together through whatever situations we are in. However, I really am firmly convinced that we tend to follow more than we think we do. Think of the stupid things kids do in high school to fit in. Talk about sheep. Think of a number of years back, was it in the 90s, I think, when everybody wanted to be like Mike. And they bought those expensive Michael Jordan shoes so they could be like Mike for hundreds of dollars. There are certain Christians who quote this or that pastor more than they quote the Bible. Who are they ultimately following? Jesus or a mere man? When I was a pastor in the Twin Cities, Frank Tillipaw wrote his book, Unleashing the Church, and everyone after that was unleashing their church. And then Rick Warren wrote his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, and then everyone was trying to purposely drive their church. And I could go on and on. In the last days, when everything seems to be blowing up in man's face, many people, including some of the elect, will turn to a man pretending to be Christ instead of Christ himself. And that's not going to end well. So be careful who you follow. Not everyone is a good shepherd. Some people are thieves. And even if the person you are following is well-intended and truly has your best interest at heart, he's just a mere man. Only Jesus is truly the good shepherd. Follow him. Follow him. Jesus, we turn to you now. You are indeed our good shepherd. We choose to listen to you. We choose to follow you. We choose to do what you have commanded us to do. And we do this by faith. Please lead us where you want us to go. Command us. And do, please, give us life abundantly as you promised. Fill us with your goodness. And as you lead us, Lord, use us. Use us so that others might turn to you in faith as well, and that they might be blessed, even as we are blessed. In your name we pray. Amen.